All right, man, I know that you guys have been in here a lot, but I got to tell you, there's a reason. There's a supernatural impartation that God intends for us to grab onto as believers so we can fulfill the will of God without all of the distractions that the enemy thinks out there that's coming against us with. You got to understand that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Thank you. And so there are a lot of us, we've been gaining a lot of knowledge. Listen, man, you guys, 1 week, you've been power-packed with amazing speakers. Other than me, they've been all been awesome. I mean, seriously. And the cool thing about all of them is you can pronounce their names. I mean, that's cool. Usually you have speakers you can't pronounce their names. But man, hello. It's awesome, man. Here's Rick and there's Joey. These are easy. Come on. Now, Raina gets a little weird, but, you know, I'm just joking. But then you got Jeremy, and you got Josh, and you got Josh, and then you got Jason, and then you got Lacey. I mean, these are pretty good, easy names. I mean, I've been coming up to you and asking you your names, and I need Rick Renner to stand right beside me so he can give me the Greek definition, because it sounds like Greek to me. I mean, it's so easy when you just have a one-syllable name. I think that's the will of God. Two syllables, good. Three syllables, you're really reaching. But man, you go to four and five syllables, oh, hello. I mean, Methuselah. I mean, can you imagine your mom marrying you? I'm marrying you. We're going to be speaking on incest. No, I'm just joking. Can you imagine your mom naming you Methuselah? There's a doctor and everybody comes in. What's your kid's name? Methuselah. Whoa, that's a lot to get enthusiastic about, that's for sure. But you got to understand that all understanding according to the will of God, now catch this, all understanding, and it's very important that you gain understanding from everything that's been deposited and imparted. Because all of the understanding is here for two reasons and two reasons only. One, so you can understand sound counsel, the difference between non-sound and non-sound and sound counsel. And that sound counsel is to do something to steer your course rightly. And so everything in understanding, you have to understand this with understanding. Understanding knowledge isn't always God, but understanding God is always knowledge. Yeah. Yeah. Three things need to be in place when you're teaching the Word of God and you're receiving the Word of God. Number one, you have to understand that God cannot and will not fit into your concepts. Amen. He's too huge. His word expands different regions of understanding that require faith in the supernatural to go with you in order for you to gain the authority that it's there to gain. Don't make me come out there. So, thank you. Because we only use 10% of our thinking capacity. Now, that is a given truthful statistic. That's a truthful statistic. I mean, I'm blessed to be using 10%. My mom thought I only used 10% until I was 18. And then after I turned 18, she thought I lost it all. But you got to understand that we only have a 10% thinking capacity. And our brain is the one that thought patterns everything that comes in. Come on. Our spirit has no problem receiving. It's the brain, because the brain feels like it has to add its 2 cents. Okay, let's put it this way. The brain thinks it has to add its 10%. Oh, thank you. So that means what? There's 90% chance of error. Now, as you come here to this conference and you've been given a lot of information, wow, wow, and double, triple wow. You have been given a lot of information. And you're trying to cipher this information based on your experiences, maybe even from your afflictions. I mean, that's what Job did. He spoke 30 chapters out of his affliction, and finally God got involved in the conversation and said, Job, where are you coming from? He goes, were you around when I started this? I don't think so. But out of his affliction, out of his bitterness, out of his resentment, out of his hurt, out of his offense, he began to make God into an image that poisoned his ability to what? Trust him. See, understanding is not a prerequisite for obedience, but trust is. The more you understand something, the better you have in trusting it. Now, come on. Now, it's like a motorcycle. I love motorcycles. I get on a motorcycle, man, last year, went all the way to Montana, went to Sturgis, went 4,264 miles before I got back to Shreveport. But in my early years, when I didn't know how to ride a motorcycle, listen, man, I couldn't trust myself on it because I didn't understand how to operate it properly. But once I understood how a motorcycle functions, how you're supposed to ride it, not drive it, ride it, it changed the way, it changed my trust system. I understand who God is. That's why I can trust him. I can trust him with picking out a wife. I can trust him in picking out relationships. I can trust him in picking out our ministry. I can trust him in my future. I can trust him in every element. Why? Because I understand who he is. No, Rick was saying it earlier. Josh was saying it earlier. God is good all the time, devil bad all the time. Come on. And the whole course of this week is to impart the word that's going to trigger something to the other 90%. I know, I got the moves. You're probably going, man, this man got some moves. No, I've been waiting to be invited to some kind of dance-off thing, man. Thank you. Yeah, I may be a white man trapped in a white man body, but I got moves. But see, God is, listen. So God can't fit into our concepts. So if you're going to understand him, you're going to have to enlarge yours. Because God is never a small. He's never a medium. He's not even large. He's XXXL large. I mean, he is huge. But the thing about everything about God is this. That just because he's big doesn't mean you can't understand his bigness. He doesn't go, man, I'm too big for you to even show up, you little peeny brain. Don't even try. Are you kidding? He's got the Holy Ghost here on planet Earth to help you understand his word so you can understand his will so he can what? Steer your course. Ow, rightly. She must work out. Are you catching this? Because God wants you, listen, to be attracted to sound counsel. He wants you to be attracted because if you're attracted, you're going to trust it. And all it's there to do is steer your course. Joey was here to help you steer your course rightly. You know, Rick Renner was here to help you steer your course rightly. And that's all we're here to do. We're not here to preach at you. We're not here to entertain you. We're here to impart something that's going to enlarge the borders of your understanding. So you can leave this week as mighty men and women, not just of God, but of champions. Come on. There's a reason we're more than overcomers. There's a reason that greater is he that is in us than in us. There is something in us. There's an element of who we are and our identity thereof. So it should absolutely intimidate the world every time we walk into it. Come on, man. To steer our course rightly. So, in all of this, have you gained that? Yeah. Nice tie, buddy. Yeah, you. Retie my bow tie. Awesome. Are you catching this? So has that happened? Have you enlarged your ability to understand supernatural realms, kingdom mindset identities that the whole process of what Jesus tried to do when he came here, planet Earth, 2,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago? Did you catch this? I said, did you catch this? What have you caught? What have you caught in the identity of who you are and who he is and now how you're going to respond to life with it in its place? Come on. One thing that you should be losing is intimidation. I'm a child of God. Greater is he that is in me because of that than he that is in the world. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but I've got a whole new chapter in my book that says I'm about to accomplish what my insecurities told me I couldn't accomplish before. I'm leaving a comfort zone with no mailing address attached to it. I'm charging. I'm ready to do what Jesus said in the last days I was equipped to do, and that's to go into all the world. That's why we're here. No, that's why we're here. And see, as the word is being imparted to you, we're recapturing those priorities. All of a sudden, it's no longer about me going to college and getting an education so I can be a what? The dentist, what did Lacey say?
Hygienist.
Awesome. See, I wanted to be that, and now I can't. I was going to go, no, I'm just joking. But you got to understand, all of the impartations of God's word is to enlarge your borders to understand that you are created for something a lot bigger than whatever life has told you that you can accomplish. First of all, you can never trust the devil, because why? He's a liar. And number two, and annoying, but number two is anything he tells you to do is always going to be on the limited, underachieved side of living. But everything God calls us to do, he calls us on the greater side. But he says, don't worry, I'm coming with you to make sure it happens. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Whatever you pursue, I'm with you. Woo, I got your back. Come on. And as you're marching through life and your journey is taking place, you got to know that everywhere you walk with the anointing in your life, you've got God standing behind you, and the devil is running as fast as he can away from you because he knows there's nothing within his ability, for sure his authority, that can prosper against you. Ah! Man, don't make me come out there. And so to steer your course rightly, so you can leave this week not just feeling changed, but becoming eternally changed and internally changed. They say there's four things that have to take place in order for change to happen. Number one, you got to realize you need a change. How many came here going, maybe you got here and you realize, man, there's some things I need to change. I get into the presence of God, all of a sudden, something is revealed to me that needs to be changed. No, come on. How many got here? Maybe you came here with that in mind. Hey, I'm coming here because something in my life's got to change. Or you got here and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit revealed some areas in your life that need to change. Raise your hand. All right. Easy. How was it in adapting to the understanding that you needed to change?
Easy.
Was it easy? Was it easy? Thank you. Anybody that was difficult, thank you for the honesty. No, some people it's easy and some people it aren't. Thank you. What did you want? What did you think you needed to change?
It was just a lot of stuff that I was doing that I know I shouldn't be doing.
Okay, doing stuff that you know you're not supposed to be doing. That's pretty cool. What about you?
Changing my attitude.
Awesome. What does the word say? The word says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Amplified says, with new ideas and new attitudes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It begins right there. Who else? Who else wants to be brave enough to answer this? Yes. Huh? How I spend my time. Yes, yes.
The way I think.
Huh? The way you
think,
yeah. See, if you can get this right, you can get everything else right. Solomon says, I get my mind back, I get my life back. Come on. See, because why? Your mind is what? 10%. Your spirit is your 100% identity. You don't believe me? Hold your breath, stop breathing, die, and see which one goes to heaven first. I'm just joking. Some of you I can see going, okay. But are you catching this? Okay, so number one, you needed to change. Number two, the second thing to make this work is you got to know what to change. Come on. You need to know what to change. Need a change, but now you need to know what to change. What are you going to change? What are you going to change? Well, my thinking, my stinking thinking. What am I going to change? My relationships, my fellowship. What am I going to change? In order for that change to go to the next leg of what it's there to do, you got to know what to change. The third thing is you need to know how to change it. Come on. The third thing is, how do I change this? How do I change getting these bad thoughts? By putting yourself in a place where those bad thoughts don't have an entrance. That means if you have a problem with pornography, divorce your computer. You know what I tell my interns integrity is? Never having to delete. Integrity is never having to delete. Don't put yourself in harm's way. Because if you put yourself in a place of compromise, you will. Why? Because you put yourself into it. So you already surrendered and submitted to compromise. And you may be going out there going, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You already did. Come on. Temptation doesn't have ability until you open the door to it. Come on. It's just floating out there as part of the influence of the world, but it doesn't have any ability until you stop and open the door for it. Come on. Are you catching this? But then the fourth thing you got to do is this. And to me, it's the most difficult part of it all. First of all, you need to change. Second, you need to know what to change. Number three, you need to know how to change it. And one of my easy solutions on changing anything is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, praise the Lord. Ora halamanda, I pray in tongues until I get there. I pray in tongues until I catch up to the will of God. No, I pray in tongues until the bigness of who he is matches my expectations. Don't make me come out there. Please do. Security. Are you catching this? Man, I know you guys have been in classes all, and for teenagers to do that, man, I got to take my hat off to you, even though I don't wear one. You guys, I have to commend you. I mean, I know some of you here and, you know, oh, I'm in another session. I know you deal with that. But I got to tell you, thank you for doing the best you can to absorb as much as you can so you can walk out of this place ready to meet the demand of what Christianity is all about. Go into all the world and let them know Jesus is worth, listen, Jesus is worth the commitment. Hallelujah. So I pray in tongues, man. Ora halamandarabasa. And I pray in tongues until I catch up to the will of God. Because that's where he takes us. That's what the word says. Amen? Amen. Even when you don't know what to pray, you pray in tongues because when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit always directs you towards what? The will of God. Amen. Man, if you don't know about going on a date, you're thinking about dating this guy or this girl. You know, I call it the 5 B's of dating or picking a date. Bucks, bronze, bucks, bronze, you know, got money, brains, At least they got to know how to, you know, spell smile. But then I got the other two, born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hey, it's okay to marry a babe. Come on. The Bible says that God placed everything beautiful in its time. So when it's time, they will be beautiful. I mean, if you got to paint the barn, paint the barn. But at least it's going to be beautiful. But in selecting this, but in selecting all of this, listen, it's got to register on a different level than 10%. You've got to bring your mind into the same obedience and the same yielding that your spirit is already directed to follow. Are you catching this? So that's what the Word does. The Word and the Spirit expands the 10%. Because when God created Adam, he had all of it. Come on. And it wasn't until sin entered that it started to remove his thinking capacity. But now here we are to register it or to re-register it back into the will of God. Say amen. Amen. So here's the four things or the five things that you need to understand in order to bring this trust to a place where I can trust him regardless. Understanding is not a prerequisite for obedience, but trust is. Here's how to trust God. Number one, you got to know who he is. We talked about that the other day. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Say amen. He is not willing that any should perish, no, not one. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. I know my thoughts and they are. I know my thoughts and they are. I know my thoughts and they are. And they are not evil for the final outcome. Come on, they are good. Because why? God is good. Everything he creates is good. Everything he creates does something, and it does something good. He created, well, he didn't create love, but love is his presence, and love is good. Can you imagine trying to live with one another without love? That's the problem with the world. No, the world is trying to live together without God, because God is love. So it doesn't know how to live without sacrifice connected to it. Smith Wigglesworth says, there is no love, there is no sacrifice to love. Yeah. No, he says, if you say the word sacrifice in a relationship, that means you know nothing about love. Because it stands on its own, listen, it stands on its own integrity. It stands on its own strength. It stands on its own identity. And the love of God is greater than any emotional, listen, transmission that your emotions can grab onto. And with that, we get the big picture. God is good. I said we serve him. Why? Because he's God, because he knows what's best for us, and out of love and devotion. He does know what's best for us. Amen? Amen? Trust him with that. Come on, if you get a check in your spirit, pay attention to it. You know, a couple years ago, I was riding in my motorcycle. I had a Texas chopper, 1900cc, big old Texas iron horse chopper, and I was driving it all the way from what's that little town in South Dakota? No. What's that? The guy that died in the Battle of Sitting Bull, the Battle of Bighorn, Little Bighorn or whatever. What was the name? Custer. I was riding all the way from Custer back to Minneapolis. And listen to this. On my way back, the Holy Spirit, I'm stopping at a gas station. It started raining about 2 hours outside of Minneapolis. And I mean, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon in the summer, and it looked like dark. Lightning, I mean, it was like a flash flood. I was riding, and I got this big 350 tire in the back, you know, those big old big old tires, and I'm riding. I'm going, you know, it's a chopper. And man, I've got, of course, all my leathers on, a raincoat. I got my helmet, and man, I'm having problems with the bike. I thought it was, well, it's a lot of water getting in the carburetor or whatever. So I pull into this gas station, and the Holy Spirit says, "See that hotel? I want you to go to it. I want you to spend the night." And I went, okay. But then after I put gas in my bike, it started right up and it just seemed good. And I said, man, I can make it. I'm only an hour and a half from Minneapolis. I can make it. And the Holy Spirit said, you stop. Well, I didn't listen to that still small voice. I get on there, and about 5 minutes later, I hit three puddles, and I had my cruise control on. I didn't know you were not supposed to have your cruise control on when it's raining, because when you hit a puddle, it's still spinning. So I hit this first puddle, and it started spinning. Well, I thought I corrected it. Well, I come to the second puddle, and I'm going, okay, I got to readjust. Well, by the time I got to the third puddle, I lost control. The bike went sideways, flipped me in the air 10 feet. I hit the highway going 65 miles an hour, and I skid 100 yards. It pays to obey. Obey rewards you. Disobedience robs from you. Well, thank God for his grace and mercy. And found out that I had just taken a turn on death man's curve. They called it dead man's curve. And I didn't have one injury. Not one injury. They take me to the hospital. I don't even need to go to the hospital. I'm laying on the side of the road. You know, as I'm going down the highway and I'm 100 yards, I'm just skidding. I'm just skidding, kind of like surfing, but on the other. I could tell Josh, I know about surfing on the highway, baby. And I'm like, woo! Well, I had read one time an article that said if you have a motorcycle accident, make sure you turn around to find out where the bike is, because you get hurt more from the bike running over you than the actual skidding. And I went, okay. So I'm sliding on the highway, and I turn around to see where my bike is, and here comes that big 350 tire. So I went, it's coming on me. I mean, it's coming faster than I am because it's heavier than I am. I push it away. When I push it away, of course, it pushes me off the highway. So I'm laying there finally. It seemed like an eternity. I'm laying there on the highway and just like this. Okay. Breathing. Breathing's good. Pain? No pain. No pain is good. And the guy that was riding with me, he comes over and he goes, Steve, you okay? I'm going, I think I'm okay. But you have to understand that God knows what's best for us. You got to pay attention to him. And the Holy Spirit is here to make sure that he's never off the assignment or the alignment. Are you catching this? You know, God wants to make sure he puts people in your lives that will help protect you. Because you don't always understand. We look through a dark glass dimly. We're dimwits sometimes. We're only using 10% of our thinking capacity. And most of that is non-kingdom thinking. No, come on. Most of that 10% is, we're not thinking about the supernatural. We're not thinking like John G. Lake said, we're not natural beings trying to live in a spirit realm. We're spirit beings trying to live in a natural realm. You got to understand that the supernatural part of our identity is there not just to identify us as Christians, but to cause us to live on a different level that makes the devil in our lives in that realm untouchable. We become untouchable. Come on. Doesn't mean he doesn't come against us, but he can't get to us. Because he's got to go through Jesus. He already tried that. Remember how that turned out? I always think about that when he tried to tempt Jesus. Remember that? Waited until Jesus was at the last part of his 40-day fast. What a coward. Come on. Waited until Jesus was at his weakest moment. Because he knew when he was going against Jesus, he wasn't just going against anybody. And of course, he tempted Jesus. You know the end of that story. Jesus finally rebukes him. The devil disappeared, waited for a second opportunity. But I'm thinking as the devil is disappearing into the horizon and Jesus is standing there watching him leave, I'm thinking Jesus is going, I'll see you again. And you're not going to like what you see. He was seeing Satan walk to the horizon saying, your days are numbered to my people. Get ready. Of course, you know what the devil did. He tried to get him killed. The Bible says if the devil even understood what he was doing, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if he would have understood what he was unleashing when he killed Jesus, they'd have never done it. Whew. Because Jesus came back with vengeance against the devil. And with that authority, here we are at 1440 at Southwest Believers. And we have to do something with this. We have to do something with this. We can't just go back to our homes and go back to the same situation and live the same way. We are required by the information that we have been given. Understanding now with revelation knowledge, that's what creates wisdom. It's time for us to go home and change their world. Change the world. Come on. It's time to change the world. Say, I like that. Are you catching this? So understanding that God is good all the time and he has his best in mind. Say, I like that. You know, several years ago, I was speaking here in Mesquite, Texas. How many know where Mesquite, Texas is? I was speaking at a conference. And as I was speaking, a bunch of the guys said, hey, man, we're going to a rodeo afterwards. You want to go? And I'm going, yeah. So, man, I cut my sermon real short. No, I'm just joking. So, after it was over, man, I'm going, okay, we're going to the rodeo. Man, this is awesome. They loaned me a cowboy hat. Had these boots that were 10 times bigger than my foot. They gave me some jeans. They cut this bathroom rug in half so I could make me chaps. I'm just joking. It was living room rugs. No, I'm just joking. But I'm going to a rodeo. Of course, I went to the rodeo. My favorite part of the rodeo is what? The bull riding. There's something so mesmerized by seeing a 165-pound cowboy on a 2,000-pound attitude. That body is doing things that body never thought it could do. And it doesn't seem like the bull is even given much effort. It's like he just flinches and your body's going, ah! One day they're going to create seatbelts for bull riders. When that happens, I'm on it. Just joking. But here, so they said, well, let's go to the rodeo. Well, went to the rodeo. Oh, man, it was so cool. And they said, well, Pastor Steve, we got passes to go back and see the bulls after this is over. He said, you want to go look at them? I'm going, yeah. Are you kidding me? So I go back there, and here they got these iron rails. They're about this big, you know, big around, and man, they're just huge. And they're just, oh, these bulls are back there, and they're not even moving. They're just relaxing. They don't even have to do anything. Just being a 2,000-pound bull is attitude when it's within itself. They don't have to snort. They don't have to growl. They just go. So I'm there, and I'm looking at these bulls, and I'm going, wow. I mean, it's like you could see the muscle underneath their fur. It's like, wow. Well, while I'm standing there, here comes a mother, and she's, oh, man, I think about 30 years old, and here's her little boy. He's about 8 years old. And they come up right next to me, and they're looking at the bulls. And here's my youth pastor friends, and they're all over here, and she's right here. And all of a sudden, the little boy, I look down, I'm going, oh, man, aren't those cool? And he goes, yeah, there's our big cows. And I didn't have time to get into that conversation, so Yeah, they're big cows. They're just, their udder's just in an udder place. That's all. And I'm going, I didn't tell him that. Come on. And so, and he's looking at him. And while he's looking at him, man, he's just mesmerized. Right in the middle of it, he takes his foot and leg and he starts to go through the fence. That's exactly what I'm going. I'm going, oh, I'm going like, Mom. And he's like, matter of fact, I'm going to squeeze in there. And of course, she finally knows. She goes, oh, John, he kind of chuckles. Get out of there. You can't go in there. You know, isn't it amazing that God would think that some degree of our 10% understands there's danger outside living in his zone. He's like, you're sticking your leg through temptation. He's going, you guys, you little Rickos. Come on. You don't mean that. Right? No, I just took. So, you know, the mother, what she does, very protective. She grabs him. No, Johnny, don't do that. I'm going, oh, good mother, good mother. So we're looking again, and I'm trying to get his attention just to, you know, kind of look around and what's going on. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of it, he starts to stick his leg through it. Now, this time he's a little bit more aggressive. Like now he's got something to prove. Keeping me from having fun, huh? I'll show you. Mom goes, no, Johnny. She grabs him the second time. He does it a third time. The third time she grabs him, says, no, Johnny, you can't go in there because those bulls will hurt you. When she pulled him out the third time, she pulled him out. He stopped. He jerked his arms loose from him, threw his arms down to his side, and looked up at his mom and goes, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. I'm standing right here. Here's my 10% thinking. Throw him in. Let's teach the lad a lesson, shall we? We'll put him in there. The bulls will try to trample him and tromp on him, and he'll come, Mommy, I'm sorry, let me out. By then, it'll be too late. God's love is for us. Because he never wants us to get to the place where it's too late. And he's saying, don't go there, guys. Don't go into temptation. Don't get around this company. Don't get around this crowd. Don't get around this peer pressure. He says, because they're out there to kill, steal, and destroy you. Sometimes we think God's just wanting us, keeping us from having fun. Boy, being a drug addict, wow, that is fun. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So how are we doing today? How are we doing today? Come on, man. See, this is what understanding is going to do. It's going to train you to understand through wisdom. So what? You'll understand that this is sound counsel and it is there to steer your course rightly. So you'll live and not die and be blessed and not cursed. And this is serious business, guys. No, I'm serious. That's all right. I wash my feet. Listen, but I didn't use deodorant. Can you tell? No, I'm just joking. No, are you catching this, guys? I mean, all that we're doing this week and the vision that, man, thank you, thank you, thank you, Kenneth Copeland, for wanting to do this and bring a place for you guys for 1 week to come and get some of the impartation that most people go a lifetime and never get. They say that if a teenager attends 3 consecutive youth camps, that means back to back, they'll never leave the church. 80% of them. They said 77% of Christian young people get the morals and the standard in which they are going to live the rest of their lives by a Christian conference of some kind. Wow. We are not wasting our time, and we're not trying to entertain you. We're trying to bring an understanding. Come on, not all understanding. Listen, understanding knowledge isn't always God, but understanding God is always knowledge. My people perish because of lack of understanding. Listen, it doesn't just talk, that's not talking about secular understanding. Hey, can we throw up there Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1 and 2 and 3 in the Amplified? Now, this is the wisest king that ever lived. Now, notice this. Here's what he says. Click. I don't have the chip brim anointing. I have to call him on that. All right. But in Proverbs, listen to this. He says, the words of a Geur. You don't like the way I pronounce that? You're probably going, is that the way you pronounce it? I have no idea. I just like the sound of it. The words of Geur, son of Jekka. See, if you put a little finesse to it, it makes you sound like you know Hebrew. So the words of a Geur, son of Jekka, of what a mess. I'm sorry. The man says to Ithiel and to Ucal. Now, Ithiel and Ucal, they had a business. No, I'm just joking. Here we go. Get to the next verse. Surely I am too brutish and stupid to be called a man. There's a reason you're not called to be a man. That was awesome. Way to go. Come on. Come on. Give me. Oh, yeah. Come. Do you always laugh like that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
On purpose? Do you ever get sued for? No, I'm just joking. No, you're awesome. You're awesome. Father, forgive me. All right. Surely I am too brutish and stupid to be called a man, and I have not the understanding of a man or a woman. Okay? For all my secular learning. You want to finish this for me? Oh, some of you guys had a hard time saying it. Some of you are going, all my secular learning. Oh, take that to your professors.
I will.
Says, right in the middle of class when he's teaching evolution in anti-God theories, say, sir, would you mind quit teaching me to be stupid? Learning has nothing. Click. I have not learned skillful and godly wisdom that I should have the knowledge or burden of the Holy One. I love what it says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 11. Verse 6, we're familiar with. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. But verse 11, guess what it says? For it is spiritual knowledge that you lack. Come on. Who cares what came first, the chicken or the egg? We eat both of them. If we eat it, we don't have to define it. Who cares where it came from? Just fry it. I'm from Louisiana. Come on. If it ain't fried, it ain't worth eating. And if it ain't on a stick fried, man. Losers. But understand that I am not the knowledge or the burden of the Holy One. You are gaining knowledge. What? Number one, about who God is. By now, you know that God is for you, not against you. Come on. Say, God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Then we talked about the devil. Wow. Whoa. Longest review of my life. But the devil is defeated. I like what Jesse Duplantis says. He says in Genesis, he was a snake. In Revelation, he's a dragon. Somebody's been feeding this thing. He's gotten too big. He's under our feet. Come on. Come on, who can take their shoe off real easy? Who can take their shoe? Okay. Oh. You guys want to see a picture of the devil? I bring him everywhere I go. You want to see a picture of him? Oh, I'm sorry. It was upside down. There. Is he smiling?
No.
That's all the holes in his teeth. The devil is supposed to be living below shoe level. And it's time to put him back where he belongs. Jesus went to hell and said, "Here, kitty, kitty, kitty." And let me tell you, when he came down to hell, thank you. When he went down to hell, it was not a happy moment for the devil. Jesus walked into the catacombs of darkness and he says, "You got something that belonged to my people. I want it back, and I want it back now." And not for one moment did the spirit of Clint Eastwood come on the devil. "Go ahead, make my day." Are you kidding? He was finding any and every demon he could squirm and worm and hide behind, because he knew he didn't just meet his match. He met the maker of the match. And it is time for your kingdom here on earth that God has imparted and anointed to stand up and say, "Enough is enough. I'm ready for righteousness to do what it's here to do." Ha 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 ha. It's okay to laugh in a sermon. As long as you're not laughing at me. Laugh at Joey, but not me. I'm just joking. Laugh at us both. Laugh at me. I'm at the age you can laugh at. He's still young. Come on. Ha 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 ha. Don't make me sick Mark Hankins on you. Come on. Oh, yeah. Feed me, Seymour. Feed me. Ha 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 ha. Man. When you receive things through the element of joy, that means you caught it. I mean, if you're sitting there and you're going, "Oh, ow, ow," that means you're processing it through the wrong system. And that process probably would be doing better. Well, you know where I want to go, okay? Listen, most of the time we're so constipated when we're listening to the words, like, "Ah! Oh! Ah!" No, like, "Ah! That's me he's talking about! That's him he's talking about! That's him he's talking about! Wow!" Man, when you get done and get done with a service, you should feel like you just had the greatest workout of your life. Everything was sweating, including the devil. Ah! He doesn't want you to hear this information, let alone show up, because it puts him in the endangered species line. Quit picking on me. Come on. We need to start listening to the devil from the voice of a third-year-old junior high girl. I mean, listen, his name is Lucifer. He's part girl anyway. I like what Mark Hankins says. He says in the South, you know, Beelzebub is known as Beelzebubba. That could happen in Texas. But are you ready to walk in this authority?
Yeah.
Devil is under our feet. Huh. The devil is under my feet. Huh. Try it again. The devil is under my feet. Huh. Shout, shout, shout it out. Shout, shout it out. The devil is under my feet. Shout, shout, shout it out. Shout, shout it out. The devil is under my feet. Shout, shout, shout it out. Shout, shout it out. The devil is under my feet. Shout, shout. I know it's getting scary now. He is stepping out of his comfort zone. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready to take your generation back for the kingdom of God? Are you armed? Are you dangerous? Are you equipped? Are you ready? Y'all need to, all of you need to take a flex selfie of yourself. And send it to 1-800-BOO-HOO extension WHAH. Come on! Man, it's time to start acting like the body of Christ. With the body of Christ. You know what that means? Anytime you point like Jesus points, something's got to happen. Devil, No. No, not in my house. Do you mind if I preach this? Just joking. Oh. Shout. No, I'm just joking. Are you catching this? Understand who the devil isn't. One more time. Kenneth Copeland said the devil is what? He is the prince and the power of
nothing.
That should clear up everything. Come on. Circumstances. Situations. Boyfriend. Girlfriend. No, come on, man. Not in my watch. This is his territory. I have declared it to be a temple, and this temple is only. I saw that. I saw that this guy is trying to hide his smile, but he's really happy. He was going. Are you ready to do this thing? All right, I got to close because if not, Lacey's gonna, she's gonna send me home the next bus. And it's usually a Greyhound. It won't be my first. Hey, would you like me to tell you the time 2 years ago I got kicked out of doing a youth camp?
Yeah.
I can't. I don't have time. But, Joey, I'm in West Virginia doing a youth camp, and I get kicked out of it because I started preaching about the power of God through the Holy Ghost. And these kids came down, and it was a Baptist camp. And I started talking about the, I'm supposed to talk on five walk-ins. Walk in the Spirit, walk in the light, walk in love, walk in faith, and walk in the power. Well, when I started, they asked me to preach on these. I told them, I said, I'm the wrong man for this. I did, I told, now, we were at the ranch up in Minnesota when I got this, and some of you guys were in the office, and they were looking at me like, what are you talking about? Because I was trying to talk them out of me being their speaker. He says, I don't think we're on the same page. I'm not your man. Because you want me to teach on these subjects, but you don't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. I'm not your man. Believe me. I want to submit to you. I would not do this unless I'm in agreement. So I'm not your man. And they said, okay. I have that effect on people. Yes, this is as good as it gets. It's okay. Thank you for your prayers. I appreciate it. Thank you for your honesty. Oh, boy. You guys are brutal. What has Josh done to you? You guys are all so nice. I'm going to have to give him that CD on the culture of kindness. I'm just joking. But I'm at this camp. Well, he calls back 2 days later and says, Steve, we prayed about it, and you're supposed to be there. I go, are you sure? He goes, yes. And I said, okay, well, maybe the Lord wants me to impart that Holy Ghost side. Because I can't preach without the supernatural involved. Can't do it. I'm wasting your time. I'm wasting my time. And it's what? Bringing comfortable time to him. So I said, so this one night, no, listen, every night I preached. First night I on walking in love, that was easy. But I still got a knock on the door, 11 o'clock at night. In fact, Jeremiah Johnson, who's here at the conference, ha 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 ha. Hey, joy means you're catching this. Come on. And so, then I they said, Steve, you need to back off. I go, I don't know what to do. All I did was talked about the love of God. God. The G-O-D, capital G. You know. And they go, spell that again. No, I'm just joking. I go. And so then I did walking in the spirit. 11 o'clock the next night. Steve, we got to talk to you again. I went, Jeremiah's with me. One of my interns. He's like, I'm going. Every night, it's like, I'm waiting for that. Well, the third night, I'm trying to be as obedient as I can. I'm not trying to bring dissension, division. I mean, I'm totally thinking, submitted to the pastors here. I'm not going on my own. But I started preaching about the walking in the power. I should have never done that. Because anytime the power of God is talked about, it wants to display itself. It just can't have a conversation with you. No, come on. I like what John G. Lake said. No, C.S. Lewis said this. He said, the supernatural is the extravagance of the Holy Spirit. The supernatural is the extravagance of the Holy Spirit. So I'm talking about the power of God, and you can't have the power of God without the Holy Spirit. Well, right in the middle of the service, the power of God starts drawing these kids, and I'm looking, and they start walking towards the altar. I didn't even have an altar call. I'm going, come back. I'm going to get in trouble. Get back. And they're just, I'm going, ay, 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 ay. And I'm looking back and I'm seeing the Sanhedrin. And they're looking at me like, I'm going to Jesus. I'm not doing it. Go back to your seats. And it was just like, all of a sudden, I said, what do you want? He goes, healed. I said, from what? Colored blindness. I should have brought my Mormon Bible. No power there. And all of a sudden, I said, okay, be healed. All of a sudden, he went, ah! I don't know if you've ever seen Baptists move when they've been startled. It's not amazing. It's scary. One, the lady next to the husband, it moves. She goes, woo, got some move, baby. But I'm just telling you, well, to make a long story longer, here's what happened. He gets healed. I said, you've been colorblind? And I go, listen, I go, what's this color that I got on? He told me the color. And I go, you had two miracles. Number one, you were healed of color blindness. And number two, God told you what color this was. Because if you're colorblind all your life, how do you know what color is what? Well, then here comes this girl and she runs up. She goes, and she lifts up her dress. I'm going, whoo! Now I've got spirits here. Ah! Jesus, I open this can of worms. And she pulls it up right here. And I saw on her leg this huge indenture. It was like this long. And it was about as wide as my finger. It was a hole in her leg. And it's been there since birth. And I looked at it. Everybody's standing there looking at it. I'm going, that's been there since birth. She goes, yeah, I want God to heal it. I grabbed this girl there. I said, put your hand on it. I put my hand on her hand. And while I'm praying, all of a sudden, this girl's hand got hot and she started screaming. Ah! I'm like, oh! She moved her hand and her leg totally smooth. You couldn't even tell. It's like it popped out and she felt it. Well, at that time, here comes the rest of the campers. Whoa! I'm going, no! It was, we had, out of the 80 kids that went down to the altar, I think 79 of them got healed of something. No, you can ask Jeremiah. He was with me. So we go back to our room that night, and here comes 11 o'clock. No knock. I'm going, 12 o'clock, no knock. Finally at 2 o'clock in the morning, so I'm going to sleep. Went to sleep. Said, we passed the test. God has moved. 7 o'clock the next morning. Open the door. There's the youth pastor. He goes, Steve, we got a problem. I went. He goes, I don't think you're the man to finish this. I go, yes, sir. So we're going to get somebody else to finish this camp out. I go, not a problem. Now, I got to tell you what happened next. I got offended. Steve Munns got offended. A man who never gets offended. How do you know? You weren't there. So I'm thinking, Jeremiah and I, we're getting a ticket. We're getting out of here. Lord said, no, you're not. I go, now you're getting involved? No, I'm just joking. Where were you last night? Why didn't you stop me? He was there all right. Could I preach this? I'm just joking. And the Lord says, no, you got offended. And if you got offended, then everything you've done has been done in vain. And I said, what do you want me to do? He says, whoever the guest speaker is for tonight, I want you to be in the front row. I want you to engage in worship, and I want you to support him 151%. I go, yes, sir. And I did. The front row, I was sitting right here in the front row during worship. I was there. I mean, I'm the guest speaker. Nobody knows what's going on except the Sanhedrin. Satanhedrin. Related to Euler. No, I just took it. All of a sudden, I'm into it. I mean, I can't even think about anything but the presence of the Lord. The guest minister, the pastor, a friend of mine, actually did his camp 30-some years before that when it was all about the Holy Ghost. He preaches, and I'm supporting him. Listen, after it's over, Jeremiah and I had gone to the canteen, you know, where they have all the snacks. And I'm sitting there with Jeremiah, and I'm just interacting with kids. And all of a sudden, here comes the Satanhedrin. And all these Baptist elders, they come up to me, and they says, Steve? And I go, yes, sir. He goes, who are you? I said, what do you mean? He goes, who are you? I said, Steve Munns, guest minister? No, he says, no. We've done everything we could to offend you, and you refuse to get offended. He says, I don't know anything about the power of God, but I have just seen a power that I haven't seen in anybody before. They sat down at my table, and I was able to share the love of God on a whole different level, and they were receiving it. I'm telling you. I get so, I'm worse than Joey. I get so sidetracked on stories. Oh, and Josh, hello. Come on, I'm not a surfer dude, but hello, I got stories. Bring it! Security! But did you catch something? Listen, all of this is to expand into the 90% of your thinking capacity and start thinking through the kingdom. Come on. instead of through man. And watch what God will do with your life. We got a world to change. Come on. Repeat after me. We got a kingdom to build. We have a world to change. We have a planet to invade. We have a God to serve. And we have a devil to harass. Devil booty kicking time.